Never cut yourself short in relation to a quote, because there is nothing worse than turning up to a job where you've underquoted. When you do quote, I've always found that always give yourself a little bit of wiggle room in relation to things that are unknown. For example, you may go to a job and you think, oh, I'll be able to do that myself. But when you get there, you go, no, I actually need somebody to assist me with this. There's more here than what I think. And so you've allowed that into the quote as well. Your gym's mowing, so therefore that gives you a little bit of premium as well. I very rarely ever quote on an hourly rate.
So today I'm joined by Jason from Gym's Mowing and Garden Care in Blackmans Bay in Tassie. You've just done your 10 years with us, Jason. And what happens is Jim's group CEO, Jim Penman, calls people on 10, 15, 20, 25 year anniversary. And he emails me through people who he think would be making good interviews. And he said, you'd be a fantastic one to interview because of your success. And he just enjoyed having a chat with you. So thank you very much for giving up your time today. And we appreciate you coming on.
No problems at all. Happy to do it.
So Jason, what were you doing prior to Jim's Mowing back in the day?
My background was I was in a fairly senior position in a federal government agency for 27 years. And there came a time where I would have a redundancy or whatever. So I did that and I took 6 months off and I thought, what do I love doing? What's going to make me happy? And so my wife and I, we're keen gardeners anyway. So we decided and had a look around. Then I thought about Jim's Mowing. What I did was is I did a bit of due diligence. So I actually... and I said this to Jim the other day, I went and did a day in the field with VIP and I was almost going to sign up with them. And then I did a day in the field with Jim's and I said, and that how I said, mentioned it to Jim was, it was like Coke and Pepsi, with Coke being Jim's and Pepsi being VIP. It was so obvious the difference. One was the bigger brand. And the thing that got me over the line was the professionalism of the gym's person I went out with, and also the fact we were driving, we were in between jobs, and he got 4 leads come through. And I thought, yeah, okay, this is good. And compared to the other place that I went to, it was like chalk and cheese. It was like day and night. So it was quite clear. And I looked at the gym's model, because I've got a financial background with what I did before, is such a good model, and that's what really drew me to it. So I signed up, and to be honest with you, I've been doing this 10 years. I wish I'd been doing this 20, 30 years because it's been such a great thing for me and my family. So, yeah, it's been nothing but a positive experience for me.
And with how did you go transitioning then? Obviously, you took a time off from the other job, but how did you go with the actual physical transition? Because it can be going from that sort of environment into this can be quite a bit of a shock. So how did you go with that?
Look, it is... yes, so coming from an office background, it was a little bit of a shock to the system at first, but over time, your body just builds up and gets immune to it and gets used to it, and all the muscles that you hadn't used in quite some time, now it's quite fine. But one of the things I do say to people that actually ask me about it is it is extremely hard work, but because it's yours, that's okay. And I do say to them too, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So you do need to look after yourself and take some of those days off when you can have them. If there's a rain day, that's fantastic because it just allows you to regenerate the body a little bit as well.
I had a look at your star rating. You got a perfect star rating. I presume you haven't taken leads for a while because you've been around for so many years and your star ratings, I think you got 65 perfect 5-star ratings, and that generally tells me that you've turned off leads for a very long time and you've got your existing business. So how big is your current business currently with your regular customers?
Okay, so at the start of the year, I had about 122 regular customers. If I'd kept all my regular customers over the 10 years, I would have had 400 or 500. But as we know, it turns over, people move. Unfortunately, customers pass away and other factors where sometimes people can't afford, all those types of things. But I've got about 110. And then what I'll probably do is I like to have about 110 and 120. That seems to do me in relation to your day-to-day work. I'd also look after several body corporates. There's 7 real estate companies on their gardener and they employ me as well. So that's how it's the cream, if you know what I mean, those the real estate ones and anything that I think is and how I look at your regulars, that's your income. Anything above that, that's what you know your income is going to be. Anything above that is where you really generate your income. So it's the one-off jobs, it's the cleanups, those types of things.
And with sourcing those sort of jobs, has that always been by the referrals for you as you haven't had taken leads for a while? Or how did you go and get those jobs?
Yeah, so with those, I get referrals from our regular customers, but also because with the real estate companies and so forth, they just could provide me work because I'm reliable. I charge a decent price, but it's not over the top, and they know that they can rely on me and a good job's done. They get great feedback from the tenants and the owners, and so it just continues to build and build and build and build and build. And so I did a bit of an analysis the other day, and it's about 50-50 the real estate jobs compared to the regular jobs that generate more income.
And with your business, is it just you in the business, or do you have a work with you or anything? Or
yeah, so it's been a great thing for me because when we first started, it was my wife and I. We started the business together, and she had the same background that I did, and so we started it together, and it was a really great opportunity for us to build something together, which was really, really nice. And she was a great asset because all the customers, you know, loved her, and she was great, especially with the older customers and so forth. And the other great thing now is my son's been working with me. He's 22 now, so he's been working with me for 5 years now. And so that's generated a career pathway for him as well. And it's the same thing. All the customers love him. It's really great because it's now enabled me. You know, on some days we average anywhere between 15 to 20 jobs a day. Well, in the morning, I give him his schedule. I've got mine. He goes and does his jobs. I do mine. And so that way you're generating a large income, but he's paying for himself by doing those jobs, but also helps me, especially with the larger trimming jobs, cleanup jobs, landscaping jobs, those types of things. And so he's you know, I've probably got about 5 years. I'm 54 now, so I've probably got about 5 years left where I'll probably go part-time, but he's then going to be able to take over an absolutely thriving business, one that he knows inside out, and
he's good to go. So
such a good head start. It's such a good head start. And, you know, the children or young people have said, you know, you've got to go to uni, and that's sort of the only pathway when you have these small business options like Jim's Mowing Franchise or other franchises, which I know of. We have a lot of family similar to yourself where the wife and the son are involved. Actually, there's one here called John Wilds, and his wife's involved and his son. It's exactly the same thing as what you guys do. And it's such a well-known, it's like it's a well-kept secret that it's such
exactly.
A, yeah. Because you learn so many things, obviously, from such a young age, going into work, you, watching you operate day to day, learning about financial management, customer service, all these really, really important things at such a young age, as opposed to maybe spending 4 or 5 years doing something at uni or maybe something that I'm interested in.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, because I hear him say to customers the things that I've taught him. So that's been a really good thing as well. And you know, and the days when we do work together, I'll talk about the business and just give you what learnings in relation to, okay, what do you reckon this when we go to do this job? I want you to have a look and tell me what you think it's worth, given the things that you've learned over the journey. And most of the time he comes back, it's pretty close. So we just got to then enable him when he goes out on his own to be able to do it with some confidence, because a lot of people, you know, they go on quote, they have no idea, they forget things that they've got to incorporate into the quote as well. And when I do quote, I tell him why I've quoted and the reasons why. So, and also how to drive that information across to the customer as well.
Let's talk about that, actually. That's a really good point you touched on. It's about quoting. I do these interviews a lot with different franchisees, and I always ask them about advice around quoting, because it seems to be something that, it's just something that it's experience sort of is the best teacher. But from your experience, what have you learned over the years from a quoting perspective, and maybe some advice for maybe people just starting out, or maybe some other franchisees who have been well established?
Never cut yourself short in relation to a quote, because there's nothing worse than turning up to a job where you've underquoted. Things come up that you had a look around a property, for example, and you go, and then you didn't realise that was there. So when you do quote, I've always found that always give yourself a little bit of wriggle room in relation to things that are unknown. For example, you may go to a job and you think, oh, I'll be able to do that myself. But when you get there, you go, no, I actually need somebody to assist me with this. There's more here than what I think. And so you've allowed that into the quote as well. Always, your gym's mowing. So therefore, that gives you a little bit of premium as well. I very rarely ever quote on an hourly rate. There's not enough hours in the day to quote on an hourly rate. It's not like we're a builder or or apply those where they're at jobs for days on end. We are, as I said before, we can do 15 to 20 a day. So that's if you did that way, that's 15 to 20 hours. That's just not feasible. So what I tend to do is just for a mowing job example, I'll look at the jobs that I've previously done and quote them. If it's 110 for a mow, then that's not to do. It might only take us 15 minutes, but that's what I think it's worth, and that's what my experience has told me it's worth, and that's what I'm going to charge. Because there's a lot of people that try and do it, and what I call the private gardeners, is that they think that if I come in lower, then I'll get a job. But I don't actually, it's never been my experience that that's actually worked that way. So I'm always happy to quote a premium price, and that's always in my experience, has always been extremely successful.
How do you sell that to the customers? And is there something maybe you're doing differently, or are you taking extra time to go through everything you'll do for them, or the value offered, or how do you do it?
Yeah, I'll go through it, and because they say, can you chop that branch down? I said, I can do that for you. It's going to be this, because I said, you wait till I get that branch on the ground, then you'll see how big it is and how much green waste is there. And I said, it doesn't finish when we lose your driveway. We then have to go and dispose of that, and there's tip fees, and there's the time to take it and then come back, and all those different types of things. So, and I've never really had anybody go, I've had a few people say, that's a bit more than I expected, but then I explain why. And then once you explain why, they get it, because they don't know, and you don't expect them to know. And so that's why you give them the information, and then 9.5 times out of 10, they go, okay, now I understand, that's fine. And if they do want to haggle, then to be honest with you, I can haggle a little bit, but not a lot, because we're so busy as it is. So I don't need to do that, if you know what I mean. Once you become established, you don't need to do those things. You know what you're worth, and you know what. And something that always people have got to realise, say, for example, you're doing a mowing job, it's a regular. So if it's 110, but it's a fairly small area, but you've got to think in spring how thick it's going to be, how much more aloe it's going to take you. If you do catch, you've got to get rid of that. There's wet, heavy grass in the back of your trailer that's going to cost more when you go down to get rid of it. It's all those little things. Yes, it might be during winter that you can zip around it really, really quick, but you've then got to think in the growing seasons, it's going to be thick, it's going to be wet, it's going to be horrible to do. So you got to think the whole year round when you quote.
That's a great point. And do you want to just maybe provide some more information around those little things that people might miss or not take into consideration when it comes to the numbers? Because Damien Bush, I interviewed yesterday, said Jason's the numbers man. So I want to ask you about your numbers and just what are those maybe little costal things that, let's say, Jim's mowing franchisees or just garden contractors in general don't take into account that they should, that maybe you do?
Okay, so there's, for example, if it's a garden cleaner, what's access like? Is it going to be an absolute nightmare to get into? So I put a cost on that, because it's costing me time and effort to do those types of things. Are you going to be up a ladder? Are you going to be using chainsaws? If I'm up a ladder, there's a risk there. So there's a risk price to that. Same with the chainsaws. If you're doing those types of things, that's not the same as standing on the ground using the heat trimmer and doing that. There's an elevated risk to that as well. So therefore, and it's hard work being up a ladder, especially with the power saws. And so, you're using your body, you're using your expertise, you're using all these things. So therefore, you need to price accordingly. And it's got to be a price that you're comfortable to go and do that job. If it's a big job, it's a hard job to do. And as I said, there's nothing worse than going and doing a job where you've underquoted, where you're working so hard that you halfway through thinking, I am not making what I need to make out of this. Because the other thing too is, have a look at how much green waste there's going to be. And as a lot of franchisees know, when you're trimming, the trimming's almost the easiest part. It's the picker. That's the time-consuming part. And it may well be, you've got to try and calculate, is it going to be one trip, or is it going to be multiple trips to the tip? And what are those fees going to be? So you've got to add all these things in as you go along. But mowing's pretty easy. I think if you go, okay, what I tend to do is if it's $100 for a mow, I'm going to do that between 2 and 3 weekly, depending on the time of year. Then I'll do a quick calculation in my head and go, okay, that's going to be $1,800 for the year for this particular job. Do I think that's enough? And if it is, fantastic. And if not, then it might be $105. And what I tend to do also is during the year, so half of my customers, I'll put up $5 each year. And then the following year, the other half, I'll put up $5 each year. So you calculate that, you're giving yourself a $5,000-$10,000 pay rise without doing anything. And I can't remember a person saying, oh, that's got up $5. It's part of their budget. If you're there regularly and you do it, it becomes part of their daily budget. It's like when they go to work and they buy coffees at work. It's just, they do it. And it becomes part of their budget, and it's not a, and $5, if somebody's going to quibble over $5, then do I really want you as a customer?
Exactly right. And I was going to say as well, with equipment over the years, you would have used a lot of different brands and setups and tried some things. So what's your current equipment setup? And do you want to explain philosophy behind that?
Sure. So I have two of everything. So for me, when I go out, so my son goes one way, I go to the other. He's got two of everything. I've got two of everything. Purely because there is nothing worse, and I learned this very early on in the piece, there is nothing worse than your equipment breaking down and you don't have a backup. So you have two of everything. Also, it helps with wear. They're not going to wear out as fast. And so I use steel. I always use steel. And I found that's like most people, mean, it's a well-known brand. You can get things serviced. You can get things, parts and accessories, what have you. So I tend to stick with the steel stuff and mass bolt mowers. I tried very early on a self-propelled, and I found that unless it's a bowl ring, they don't do much at all, purely because when it comes to the thick stuff, a lot of them don't get through it. And this was a Honda, I think it was.
Honda HRU, yeah.
Yeah. So, and the cat, and then the, and the tool was small, the catcher was small, and it just didn't do the work. So now I've got three mass ports, and I've got about five. I never throw them away because you can use them as spare parts. The same with all the combis. So I always use combis, so you can interchange edge trimmers, pole cutters, and your brush cutters, and it's a lot easier that way. And I use the steel stuff, so that's what I found. Bump head feeds, I use those instead of the auto cuts. Just doesn't have a wide enough nylon for me. I like to have a fairly wide lot, not because it just gets you through the job quicker. And I've got a Massport ride on as well.
Massport ride on, okay. I haven't really seen many of those, so Massport ride on. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Massport tractor ride on. It's just a basic setup. I try not to do many of the ride on work purely because, well, down here is, you never know what you're going to, and if it's somewhere where you've never been before, you've really got to walk the ground first to see if there's any impediments there, any snakes in the ground that you've only got to go over a rock and a dusty fan belt, then your mower's in the middle of a paddock and so forth. So I do two or three that I use it for, and you know, it's paid for itself. I use it, so it's all good now. But yeah, I tend to use the push mowers.
I was going to say as well, with your business, how do you optimize it? Like, are you looking every quarter at numbers, or are you looking at clients and profitability? How do you optimize your business? You sound like you've got a really good business sense of, and you're always looking at ways to improve what you do in your business. So what are the things maybe you're doing? Maybe just outline for franchisees, maybe some things that you do that might be good for them to do in their business.
Okay. So just simply, it's about cash flow. So every night I come home and I send my invoices out. I don't wait to the end of the week or anything like that. I send them out every single the day that they're done is when the invoice goes out. What I then tend to do is then all the emails that come through for jobs from real estates, texts from customers saying you can do this, then I'll go into my schedule, I'll look out and see where I can put them in. And then what I'll do is, because I keep a spreadsheet of the jobs that I've done, the income for that particular month, the expenses for that particular month, and then, but I've got that over about a 10-year period. And so I've actually got analysis on what are the busy months, what's historically been the busy months, because down here in Tassie, what I've noticed is over the last 5 years now, we're getting 6 months of spring weather, we get about 4 months of autumn weather, 1 month of really hot weather, and 1 month of really cold weather. That's just our climate down here. So, and we've had secondary springs, if you like, in May, and so that then looks at. So I'm not going to cut on if I'm doing everyone every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'm not going to drop them back to every four until June. So there's generating more income too. Mm. So and a lot of the time, I used to drop people back, but then I went through a phase where I'm going to test this and I'm going to actually not drop people. Say if you're doing them every fortnight or 3 weeks in the growing seasons, just continue that through all the way, And I haven't had anybody say, oh, can you take it out to a month or anything like that. So, it, as I said, it becomes part of their spend, if you like, their budgetary spend of $100 every 3 weeks for Jim's Mowing. Or that if it goes up $5, say, what's $105? And so I've been able to generate more income by doing that than actually going back and doing it and doing the change, get back from 3 to 4 or 2 to 3. And it's actually worked. So that's something that I do as well. The other thing I do is I'll graph it out and just see how am I going against, if I may, I'm expecting to make X, then what was that like last year or the year before? How am I going in relation to the average? And so that kind of gives you an idea of how you're going. And each year, my profit has gone, each year's increased, each single year. It's gone up and up and up. And that's not through, and that's me not having put any new leads on for probably, I may have put on 2 or 3 over the last 4 years, I'd say, because I've been able to keep the customers that you've got through reliability. And that's something that I really preach. Show up, be reliable. I don't know how many jobs that I've gotten from people ringing me and asking me and saying, I had a guy, but they just stopped coming and they don't turn up. And I say, well, I can't believe that because I know they're not as busy as I am. This is your primate people. I know they're not as busy as I am, but I can still ring you and show up and communicate with you and say, okay, because of weather, I'll have to put you back to tomorrow. It's a communication thing, but if you show up, you're consistent, then you'll keep your regulars and the people that you do well off for. They'll remember that you showed up, did a good job, and they'll get you again in a year's time. So that work ethic kind of self-perpetuates itself. And it just continues on. And over time, I started with 55. I think the whole school, it was 130 and something. So it just continues. It just continues to pick up. And it gets to a stage where you go, okay, there's only so much I could do in spring. There's only so many hours in the day I can do in spring. So you've got to also manage that as well. Because I don't know, a couple of my mates have brought into franchises and I'll ring up and say, how are you going in spring? You know, don't forget. Take a day off if you can. It's going to be there. Make sure you look after yourself because it's one of those things that if you're tired and you're mentally tired through, you know, you come home after being physically tired, then you got to work on the business. You just got to take those times as well.
Absolutely. And you mentioned before about your year-on-year profitability increasing each year. Now, what would you put that down to? Is that just due to becoming more efficient? You've got your son involved? Yeah. Or what would you put that down every year to that?
Okay, so I put it down to more and more work coming through the real estates. So once they see you do a good job, they will use you. They are hanging out for reliable, good garbage. Because, and again, they say, oh, we used to have this guy and he never turned up or he did a crappy job or what have you. And I have those jobs. I mean, probably 30% of my regulars are real estate regulars. So again, that just builds your business as well. And the other profitability is, yes, it's don't overspend on, make sure you've got all the equipment that you need and that you should have, but you don't need to get a mower every year. I mean, my mowers, they do probably 900,000 mows each a year, but I look after them. I maintain the gear. That's something that every Friday afternoon or Saturday, I will maintain my gear and very, very rarely does it ever break down. Very rarely. Sometimes it's a little bit of wear and tear, but it's not because it hasn't been looked after. You're just blowing out the air filters, making sure that there's, you know, you change your oil, you change your blades on your mowers, all those types of things. Make sure that you've got the right mix of fuel, those types of things. And so that's enabled me to not spend a whole heap on equipment maintenance, have to take into the steel shop. But little things like increasing your prices each year, things go up, you know. I mean, just as an example, just workers' comp insurance for my son, it's $4,500, $5,000 a year, and that goes up each year. So all your business expenses go up. You've got to bear that because you're doing it for that customer, so they've got to take on some of that responsibility as well. So and it doesn't need to be much. It's $5. You know, as I said, there's $5,000, $10,000 a year that you've increased your income. And also, when I do set the prices, and I learnt this very early on, one of the franchisees I bought it off, it was extremely underpriced. And it took me some years to get it up to where it should be. So that I learned from very early on that you set a decent price, a good price, something that you're happy with, and then that will only go up.
Now, that's some really good advice. And I was going to say, you've been in business for 10 years and not many businesses get to a 10-year mark. So from what I can get the sense of, and I thought people listening and watching will be, you're obviously ultra consistent in what you do. So every day you do, you collect your data, you put your data in the spreadsheet, which I think is fantastic because you've got so much data and you can, you've already increased profitability just by looking at your data, which all franchisees I think should do. It's fantastic to be your advice, but obviously you're invoicing. But it just sounds like to me it's ultra consistent discipline and the reliability factor, which has been the main sort of things. Would you say that's the main thing for your success, or is there something else?
No, I think that's it. And also the fact that, and I've drilled this into my young bloke as well, is like if somebody came around to my elderly dad's place, would I be happy with that job? Have I done everything I can not to have that person call me to come back because I didn't do something? It's all those types of things. And I try not to, you know, when you go on quote and you look at jobs, I'll go and take photos of everything they've got to do because sometimes there's a three-week, four-week wait to where I can get to it because of all the other jobs that have backed up. So I've got that information there. So the day, the night before that I'm going to go do that job, I'll go through those photos again and say, oh, yeah, that's right. I need this ladder. And really thinking about those jobs you've got to do, the one-offs where, I mean, most people will learn that if you do your regulars all the time, you will know that place inside out better than what they do. And, you know, whereas if you go and do one-off jobs, you've got to have the right equipment with you, such as ladders. Do I have all my pole sorts? Do I have everything that I can possibly think about? So it's about thinking about what you're going to be doing. So you're not thinking about it when you're there. It's like, I already know what I'm going to do. And then doing that in a logical way. So going around the property and saying, if it's way down there, I'll go to back my trailer up into there, cut it, put all that in the trailer, see where I am in relation to how much more I can fit in the trailer, start cutting it. So for me, it's about time management as well. It generally works out that I'll start work at about 8:30 with 15 to 20 jobs between the two of us. We're done by about probably 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is that due to your route optimization as well, just getting...
Yeah. Sorry, that's a very good point. The other thing too is yes, you schedule your jobs around the same areas, so you're not going back and forth. So I have, for the people down in Tassie who are listening to this, I've got a certain amount of jobs on the Eastern Shore. It's not that I've sought those jobs. They just came with looking after some of the body corporates that I look after and some of the real estate ones. So that's a day for me out in that particular part of the world, same out in the northern suburbs. It's nowhere near where I am, but I'm lucky enough that of the majority of my customers are around 5K, 7K is my house. So it's really good. And so about 2015, there was a guy that looked after around a suburb down here, but he lived quite a ways away. And then when I bought into the franchise, I had people around where he lived. And so I was spending too much time and we were both spending too much time. So we actually sat down and said, do you want to do a customer swap? And so he got all the customers that I had, and it worked out to be exactly the same, manager wise. All the customers where he lived, I got his customers where I lived, and that way, yeah, that's why we can get, you know, finish at 8:30, finish at 2:30, 3 o'clock. But as I said, we've done 15, 20 jobs. So it's I can't stress enough, when you're in the car, you're not making any money. So let's say that's if you can schedule yourself so you're around the same areas, then you're going to be more time efficient, and which enables you to be able to get more jobs done.
Absolutely. It sounds like it's a simple thing, but I know from a fact a lot of franchisees probably need to do a little bit better because we have people buy a territory in somewhere else and they're going back and forth and
yes,
you know, not trying to build that local business, but that's obviously the key to increasing profitability really easy. It says how many jobs can you get close to home? Oh, so you're not driving around the city.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it is. And one of the things that I do look at, and there's some areas that I won't go near purely because access is an absolute nightmare. Very thin streets. You can't actually turn your trail without hitting the car. So it becomes a bit of a nightmare. So that's something that to consider as well, is that don't do jobs in areas where it's extremely difficult and you're going to turn up. It's pot luck if you turn up and there's no park out the front.
And
so you've wasted time going there. So think about access and all those types of things when researching your jobs as well.
That's a really good point. It's sort of slowly creeping into Melbourne. We have obviously the trailer here, but a lot of franchisees are starting to buy the ute with the the canopy on the back, just because it's getting harder and harder, especially in some of the inner cities, to do it. I know that a lot of the Sydney guys will have the vans, and in Auckland they had the vans as well, just because of the access issue. And I think it's something that it's great to have the trainer on the ute if you can have it, but a lot of places now are just getting way more harder to get access, and it's a really good point for people to consider.
Yeah, but one of those things, my son says, "Dad, can we get a truck?" So that's and that because she could just turn that like she'd have to use it. So well, there's always that option as well.
Yeah,
trial it is to look at other vehicles to make it easy for yourself. If your territory is in one of those areas where access is a problem, that is something that you probably need to look at.
Absolutely. Now, over the 10 years, Jason, what's kept you with Jim's Mind? Because obviously you're very capable, you've got a really good business, and people might be saying, well, why don't you go independent, or why don't you do your own thing? So why do you keep with Jim's for 10 years?
I love what I do. I really love the Jim's ethos in relation to be reliable, do a good job. That's pretty simple. They're pretty simple things. And also, it's the Jim's brand. So, for example, I lost a whole heap of customers for whatever reason, the whole group of people who either moved or did whatever. I know that I can then put leads on, and they'll come swinging through. Not so much in the slower times. You'll get some, but it's in the springs. And one of the things that used to drive me nuts was the unserviced leads, because I'm thinking people are ringing up and we can't service them. And it's which it shows it's a good thing, because people are busy. That's what it shows to me, that people are busy. Our franchisees have got more than enough work. But there was also an issue, that I saw was probably not good for the brand. But I noticed a lot of those with some of the newer franchisees coming on now. I've noticed a bit of that's dropped now, which is good.
The balancing act, unfortunately. Yeah, we got to market for work, but then obviously there's too much. You got to back it off, and that's always a balancing act. And especially in spring, it's just
spring's nuts, and that's where it's manic, or what I call manic, is that it takes you twice as long to do it would normally do, say in April, May, June, because it's thick, it's wet, and it just takes you twice as long. So you got to be working harder. And that's why that comes back to me about pricing. Think about those times when you've got to do twice as much work for that you're doing in June. So that's why you're paying the extra money for those particular times. And as I said, the spring weather down here is probably the longest month and type of environment that we have.
It's a beautiful place for people to make a sea change as well, if they want to get out of Melbourne or get out of other places in Australia. Down at Tassie, you've got some beautiful gardens, and you've got the longest spring season, so plenty of work. And I was going to say, Jason, you mentioned the word brand before, which I think is a good one, because brand can be a very wishy-washy, people go, brand, what does that actually mean? So what to you does brand mean? Does it just mean, when you rock up to a job, you don't have to establish trust as much, or as it allows you to charge higher? What does brand mean to you, or Jim's Buying Brand?
Yeah, a little bit of that. What it means is that I can say there's a framework behind what we do. If you're not happy, you can call somebody about it. When people ring up and first you type in sort of gardening or mowing, Jim's comes up. It's a well-known brand. It's a trusted brand. And I mean, I think long-term as well. So if, when my son takes over, he's taking over a brand that's well-known as well. But it's also, we have police checks. We're good people that have got these franchises. And that's one of the things I always bring up too when I'm talking to customers. It's like some of the people that, the private people, they turn up. And I wouldn't want them at my place. I wouldn't want them at my parents' place. We turn up with the uniform on. It's just that brand knowledge that I think gets us over the line a lot of the time.
Absolutely. And people, you're taking advantage when you come into the brand now, if you're a new franchisee, of all the jobs that have been done prior to you and the goodwill that's been accumulated into the area by your business, for example, for 10 years, and all the other Jim's Buying franchisees in Tassie, you're coming into that point where you've already got. It's always a great point to come in now, because you've got all that goodwill that's been done by you guys doing a great job before. And it's sort of funny. There's always an independent versus sort of Jim's Mowing thing. And the stuff that you're saying is sometimes what they say reverse about us. And I do find it hard to believe with our systems. But obviously, there's a lot of good independents out there. But we obviously know there's a lot of...
My feedback has been that there's less and less good ones. I think a lot of people... Especially now the pandemic, business increased that much, and it was like it was almost recession proof, because people instead of spending money on holidays, they spent it on their gardens, and then I noticed a lot of independents, I call them, a lot of independents start it up and they think it's quite easy, but then they realize it's not. And then because you're doing this type of business, to make money out of it, you've got to have a solid base of customers. And you've got to build that. So whereas independents, I guess, start with zero and it takes them, and then they realize it's bloody hard work because they don't, they think charging cheap is better. Yep. That they drop off. There's that many now that I used to see that aren't around anymore. But you see the new ones come around and all the rest of it. But it's like the thing that the equipment they turn up, even you know the trailers, things like that. And I could see how just simple things like packing a trailer, as well, there's bloody stuff hanging out the side. It just looks terrible. It's like you don't know what you're doing. Whereas with the gym stuff, and that's another thing I tell people is if you know how to cut up and to pack a trailer properly, you'll get twice as much in there than what you will if you don't know how to do it properly. So that's another cost saving thing.
Greenways, for sure. Yep. I was going to say over the years then, Jason, what's maybe the biggest job you've done? Has there been some sort of one-off jobs which were big to do, or what have you done?
Yeah, a few landscaping ones that have been quite big. A couple of really large cleanups at a couple of homesteads. Probably some of the bigger jobs that I've done are just major cleanups of houses where they're going to sell it, rent it, and somebody's passed away, you know, it hasn't been touched in ages. So I've done a lot of those as well. I mean, some of the $3,000-$4,000 cleanups.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the others have been, some of the landscape ones have been quite large as well. So they've just come through the real estate ones, because I don't tend to open up for the landscaping ones through my normal leads. Yep. Purely because I don't have the day, 2, 3, 4 days to be able to put that aside to not get any of my regulars. And that was previous to my son coming on board. But now I can take on some of those bigger jobs because he's still looking after the regulars while I'm doing that other work. Yeah, so there's been the opportunity to do some quite large jobs, both through real estate companies, but also through
customers ringing up and asking for it as well.
And how did the landscaping stack up from a profitability standpoint, let's say, to from what you charge for that job compared to maybe other jobs in terms of the business? Is it a more profitable venture? Is it about the same, or how did you find it?
Oh, it is, but you've got to know what I tend to do is I don't do anything that I know that I can't do well.
Yep.
So if it's massive retaining walls, if it's things where there's a speciality to it, I won't touch. I could put people in, and that's something I do too, is I can put people in contact with people. Same with trees. Mm. I won't touch anything that I can't reach with my 7-step ladder. Then I know arborists that can come and do it. And what you can do is you can give the arborist the job, and you can also put your whack on the wood as well for getting the arborist. There's another opportunity to make money. But yeah, the landscaping can be good. You just got to be very aware of price, putting a buffer in there because you might quote on it at a particular time. Landscape costs, but I know down here, landscape costs go up sometimes every month. So therefore, you need to put in that 20% buffer for your material costs. Then you're going to need maybe somebody with a bobcat and an excavator. But you've got to be able to tell them what you need. So unless you're comfortable doing those things and have some experience in them, then just be careful, because you can make an absolute mess for yourself if it's not done properly. But yeah, it can be quite profitable.
So I was going to say as well, you have to say any figures or anything, but profitability financially over the years, have you been happy with what the business has been able to generate for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. After meeting senior government, probably made in 3 times that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There you go. But
that's what I wish I'd done at 20.
Yeah. It's a lot of money in the block. Be retired.
The bodies would have been a bit younger, but
yeah.
That's something that, too, I think I touched on it before, about look after your body. Make sure I'll go and have a body massage every month just to get me through to the next month. And, you know, get enough sleep, those types of things, and do look after yourself, because as you get older, things start to wear out a bit and you find aches and pains that you never had before.
Yeah.
Working on non-level ground, you'll notice that at the end of the day. And if you're starting to, like landscaping, you're doing things that you're not normally doing, so therefore you're a bit sore that way too. But that's another thing to consider too.
Pretty promising.
I was going to say,
yeah, brush like a big bloody slope.
Yeah,
then that's gonna take some take some effort, and it's gonna hurt your body. So put a little bit of extra on for that convenience as well.
No, that's a great point. And I was going to say as well, we have a lot of new franchisees or people researching gyms listen to these podcasts. And then what would you sort of say to them maybe about maybe some things they're going to be aware of before coming into the business, or what would you sort of advise them?
Okay. If it's going to succeed, it's up to you, pretty much. That's something that I took out of the training. When you go to the training or when they listen to the people that are talking, I took so much out of the training that I did, and that continued on in my mindset going forward. So it's going to be hard work. There are going to be times where, and it is, it's not 24/7 thinking, but you've got to think about your business all the time and how it's going. What can I do to generate income? Realize, depending on if you're buying one of the Green Shorts ones, we started with zero, it is going to take a little bit of time. It is going to take a little bit of time, but you'll be surprised how quickly, because of the gym's brand, how quickly your customer base builds up. Stick to the mantra of do a good job, be reliable. Do those things and you'll succeed. There's no doubt about that. And don't underprice yourself. That's the key takeaway. Don't underprice yourself. You don't have to try and beat the other person, because if they're happy to do it for $30, and I always say this to people, you're more than welcome to use them. Don't know what job you're going to get, but you're more than welcome to use them. So back yourself in is my biggest thing that I took away from everything is back. If you back yourself in and back your mindset of hard work and doing a good job, you won't fail.
That's perfect. And we'll end it there, Jason. Thank you very much for your time today on the podcast. I'm really glad to spoke with you. Jim said you'd be a great person to interview, and Damien Bush had nothing but great words to say about you and your business and what you've done. And well, just from talking to you, it's amazing. You've got a fantastic business mindset. So well done on what you've done and made it into a truly family business. It's amazing. So well done on your journey and all that sort of stuff. And hopefully we can check in maybe in 10 years' time, or maybe you might be retired, or maybe you can check with your son who takes over later on. We appreciate your time today on the podcast. I know a lot of the franchisees and other people looking at gyms will appreciate your knowledge as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it, mate.
Thank you for listening to the episode of the More Than Just Mowing podcast by Jim's Mowing. If you do need help with your local gardening expert, please give us a call at 131 546 for Australia, 0800 454 654 for New Zealand, or head to jimsmowing.com.au or jimsmowing.co.nz. If you liked what you heard, please make sure you leave us a review as well. Wherever you consume your podcast, we appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.